We welcome in right now from ESPN, one of the finest at covering the National Football League, and a great friend of the show, Sal Palantonio. Sal Pal, a belated Happy New Year, and hope you and your family had a wonderful holiday.
Yeah, we did. You know, I was interrupted by a lot of work because we work in a crazy business, but it was pretty good. Thanks, Vic. How about you?
Yeah, same here. And you're right, because this whole thing really started, if we go back now to New Year's Eve, where the current stories we are chasing in this league all began. The firings, they call it Black Monday in the NFL. Of course, Pat Shurmur, Tom Heckert, part of the firings that went on throughout the league. You being down in the South Jersey, Philly area. Andy Reid being fired there since taking a job with the Chiefs. The Bills firing Chan Gailey and since hiring Doug Marrone from Syracuse. And now there are teams, including the Browns, that are still looking for their head coach. And I guess the
now just think about this for
yeah,
a second.
Yeah.
To interrupt you. The two coaches hired, one was 4-12 and the other just coached at Syracuse. That tells you just how difficult it is this year with so many openings and so much unknown about these candidates, both at the collegiate and the NFL level. How difficult this coach replacement process has become this season.
Yeah.
This is different than any other year. It's unique because of that. Because you had guys like Bill O'Brien and Chip Kelly clearly using their leverage with the NFL to get better situations at the collegiate level.
Right.
Same thing maybe in the case with Brian Kelly as it plays out in Philadelphia. When you think about it, first two coaches hired, one's 4-12 and the other one coached at Syracuse. You know, the pickings, in my opinion, are pretty slim.
Well, that's the thing. And is that why then you think the collegiate coaches were the focal point of the search to begin with? Chip Kelly's name came up. Nick Saban was brought up until he emphatically said he was staying at the college level and had pretty much his only go-around that he wanted to have, I guess, with the NFL, with the as a head coach with the Dolphins. So that explains perhaps why we're sitting here 11 days out for the majority of these teams and still not knowing who coaches are.
Yep. And everybody that I talk to at these teams, talking to general managers, a couple of owners, a couple of team presidents, it's pretty clear the number one thing that a lot of these teams are looking for, Cleveland and Philadelphia included, is head coaching experience either at the NFL or the collegiate level. That's why you saw Bill O'Brien, Chip Kelly, pursued so hotly and so quickly. I think that's why there's an extreme interest in a guy like Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, what he did in Indianapolis with a rookie quarterback to go from 2-14 to the playoffs with the head coach in the hospital battling leukemia. To me, Arians and Chuck Pagano are co-coaches of the year in the NFL. So I think Arians would be at the top of the list, and I'm really surprised that teams haven't moved more quickly. Now, I know he was in the hospital and missed that playoff game against the Ravens, and that really hurt the Colts. I covered that game last Sunday.
Right.
And you know, he'll have to be vetted completely. You know, he may balk at the idea, you know, because he's 60, but he's going to have to take a serious physical. I think teams are going to look at him and say, you know, you're at the top of our list, but we want to know what we're getting into here, eyes wide open. To me, he's at the top of my list in terms of his ability and his experience with quarterbacks and now what he's done in Indianapolis. But he's going to be in heavy, heavy demand. San Diego clearly is interested. Chicago is interested. Cleveland and Philadelphia, Vic. So if you want Arians, I would say get on a plane to Indy, you know, make them take a physical, interview him, and then sign him up.
I'm very much a Bruce Arians guy, and all the reasons you stated, and I think about it from the standpoint of the fit with this team, with this young roster, with a young quarterback, or at least a quarterback in his second season. He's an old young quarterback, we know, in Brandon Whedon, but a guy who could use the same kind of help that Bruce Arians gave to Andrew Luck and what he meant to that team all in general, doing what he did under Duresh. But you mentioned age 60. He was in the hospital for Sunday's game in Baltimore, went back in with the inner ear infection. So, yeah, you just want to make sure that he could physically take this all on, but he certainly is ready for this shot.
And the problem is when you go defense, because I really like Mike Zimmer, and I think Lovie Smith is still a viable candidate, even though he missed the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years with Chicago, and then had a team that underachieved there in Chicago, and I didn't like his choice of offensive coordinator, notwithstanding all of that. To me, you hire the man, and then you hire the coach. And I think when you look at some of these candidates, Bruce Arians, Mike Zimmer, Lovie Smith, mm-hmm. Rob Chudzinski, these are guys who can be leaders of your football team, leaders of your organization, stand up there at the podium in front of the mic, speak clearly and concisely, give a clear message and a clear direction of where the team is going, and you can't overstate the importance of that. And so I think you got to find the right man, the right leader, and hopefully that guy can call offense. If not, then you got to find your offensive coordinator, and that's the problem with Zimmer. If you're going to bring Zimmer in, the first question's got to be, okay, who's your OC? Because the league is all about throwing the football, and if you don't have that guy, you're going to be in trouble for quite some time.
Among the others, and we're visiting with Sal Palantonio of ESPN here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. As the other candidates, you brought up Lovie Smith, and I'm surprised after a 10-win season and yes, he's missed those postseasons in Chicago, but he's been accomplished enough, it would seem to me, that he's a guy that should be on the radar of a lot of teams and perhaps have a job by now. Ken Whisenhunt is another name, for another head coach guy. And so what would your take be on him?
Well, I think both of them come with that PR baggage. It's hard to sell it to a franchise, especially like Cleveland, that's looking for a new beginning. Hard to do. Are we getting another retread? How do you sell that? How does Joe Banner sell that? That's going to be the biggest chore if he hires somebody like that. I'm not saying they're disqualified or unqualified. I'm just saying it's a harder sell from a public relations standpoint. Mm. That's why they went big and went for O'Brien and Kelly. And it's pretty clear, even though both of them would be unproven at the NFL level. So I think that's the number one issue.
Sal, now, the other thing I wanted to ask you with regard to this search is the timing of it all. People want this done now, of course, and Jimmy Haslam had said at the outset when he was sitting with Joe Banner in front of the media 11 days ago, telling reporters that quicker is better or sooner is better, but the key is to get it right. And they've gone through, this has been a coaching carousel here for too many years, every 2 years replacing a head coach, and it's the reason why this team has perpetually struggled, the biggest reason, no continuity. Can you still get the right guy? Because they know what they're looking for, and the thing I trust is that they've got the mandate, the criteria of what they want in that man, and I don't see them settling or just, we've got to fill the job, so let's hire this guy. I trust that they're going to be methodical still and careful in how they go through the process.
Well, yeah, I think they'll be methodical, and they'll do the right thing. They'll do the right thing. The question is, does that person exist? Mm. And I think, you know, there are some teams that are waiting for Mike Nolan, the defensive coordinator in Atlanta, to be out of the playoffs. Some teams are waiting for Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator in Denver, to be out of the playoffs before making a final call on that. But both of those teams could be in the Super Bowl, which means, you know, you're stuck without a coach. And then, you know, the pressure's starting to build, and there are not many options out there, and maybe you can't land that guy. So, you know, it's a huge risk, but, you know, at some point, you just got to pull the trigger. You like the guy. You think it can work. You got to make that call. Now, again, Bruce Arians will have significant competition for Bruce Arians. For Mike Zimmer, you probably won't, but you got to Rob Chudzinski, you probably won't have that much competition. To me, I look at it like if Arians wants the job in Chicago or San Diego, he's probably going to take one of those two. They're going to be open and available to him. And Zimmer and Chudzinski, I think, are the two names that, you know, if you're not interested in McCoy or Nolan, that you got to look at and say, all right, we got to pull the trigger on one of these two guys.
But here's the difference, and I hear exactly what you're saying. If you see Chicago and San Diego for obvious reasons, climate and just it's San Diego. I mean,
well, San Diego's got Philip Rivers too.
And Philip Rivers. But here's what the Browns have.
And you play the Raiders twice a year, and the Chiefs, as opposed to the Steelers and the Ravens. So
I get it. But here's let me finish. I think when it comes to the Browns situation, Sal, the head coach is getting he's the first person they're hiring of the two people. And I think I know, at least based on what they've described the job, how they've given the job description, the role is that of someone who would have, you know, major say on roster, who would be much more, I think, of a power figure versus the teams in Chicago and San Diego who have GMs in place. Chicago already had one. San Diego hired one before they're hiring the head coach.
Look, I'm not arguing with you about how, you know, I mean, Cleveland's has got a storied tradition, and it's, you know, you got a young roster, and, you know, the expectations are not that high, so that you can, you know, take your time and build it like you want to build it to a certain degree. But I'll say this, having known Joe Banner for as many years as I know him.
Right.
He's going to want to have a say in that roster.
Oh yeah, no, I wasn't discounting that, but I think he's
not going to sit in the corner and be told what to do.
And I wasn't even remotely suggesting that, but I do think in terms of how you're going about it with this club, making the head coach the first guy you get, and then the personnel guy, the GM, whatever that title is, and it might not necessarily be GM, is secondary. It's really in the pecking order of how this is going. Everything flows after the head coach is put in place. I just think you can make it an attractive position as any that you could put out there for a coach who wants more than just to be, okay, the head coach and leave everything to everybody else. That's not going
to
be the
case. I would say to Browns fans who are listening to this show, you have to be patient this year in particular, because it's a unique situation. You have a lot of unknown candidates out there. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of openings with a lot of competition, and a lot of teams are under pressure to make a big splash. So this is a unique situation, and you have people in charge who are going to do the right thing if they can get the right guy. But again, it's a unique situation in a unique year, and you have to be patient. You just do. It's the reality of it. It is what it is.
All right, Sal, we're going to also talk some playoffs with you, the divisional round. We'll have that conversation coming up. He is Sal Palantonio from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.